Good morning, everybody. An extremely important chapter we're going to learn today. Most probably one of the most important chapters in Tanakh from a contemporary point of view. That's enough of an introduction. A great deal has to be said about this chapter. We are learning chapter 5. Chapter 5 in Shmuel Beth. No, we did it already. Yeah. Vayavo kol shiftei Yisrael el David Chevrona. All of the tribes of Israel came to David in Chevron. Vayomru leimor, and they said, Hinenu atzmecha u'besorecha anachnu. We are you and your flesh. We're all one. Where do you have that term from? Where does that term come from? Very good. What does Adam say about Chava after Chava is created? V'zot hapam, this time etzen me'atzamai u'bosor mi'besari. This time we're talking about somebody that is a bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. Atzmecha u'besarcha therefore represents the closest that two people can be. So this is what Shiftei Yisrael, all of the tribes of Israel, say to David when they come to Hebron. We're going to get back to the pasuk. Extremely important words in the pasuk. Yesterday and the day before, what they mean is even in the past you were in fact king over us. When Shaul was king over us, who was the leader? Who took us out to battle? Who brought us in? And God had said to you through Shmuel, you will be the shepherd for my people Israel. And you are going to be a prince over Israel. It would seem that this is a second delegation that comes to him. The first delegation represents all of the tribes of Israel. The second represents Kol Zikne Yisrael, the elders of Yisrael. Not everybody learns that way. The Radak seems to say that Vayavo over here means the Zikne Yisrael had come. But I have a feeling that these are two separate delegations. There is a delegation of Shiftei Yisrael, the tribes of Israel. Now come the Zikne Yisrael. El Hamelech to the king Chevrona, Vayichrot Lahem Hamelech David Brid B'Chevron Lefnei Hashem. And the King David, made with them a covenant in Chevron Lefnei Hashem before God. We're going to have to see what that means. Why is Chevron called Lefnei Hashem before God? Where is the Lefnei Hashem? In certain places, of course, all of Eretz Yisrael is called Lefnei Hashem. When Yonah flees Eretz Yisrael, it says, Vayivrach Yonah fled mi lifnei Hashem, from before God. But here it seems to be there is something lifnei Hashem in Chevron. The Radak says, wherever you have all of Israel or the majority of Jews, that's where the divine presence rests. And it seems that everybody had gathered, or the representatives of all of the people had gathered in Chevron, and therefore Chevron now becomes lifnei Hashem, before God. And David was anointed as a king over Israel. By the way, this is the third time that David is being anointed. The first time David is anointed was by Shmuel. The second time was in, if I'm not mistaken, it was in chapter 2. In chapter 2 it says that the people of Yehuda came and they anointed him as king. Yes, in chapter 2, pasuk 4, it says, "Vayavo anshe Yehuda, vayimshichu shom et David lemelech al Beit Yehuda." Anshe Yehuda came and they anointed David as a king over Beit Yehuda. That means he overshadowed Yehuda. Now he is being anointed as Melech al Yisrael, king over all of Israel. Ben Shloshim Shana David Melech. David was 30 years old when he ruled. Arboim Shana Melech, and for 40 years he was king. The Chevron Malach Yehuda Sheva Shonim Yishisha Chodashim. In Chevron he ruled over Yehuda 7 years and 6 months. Ubi Yerushalayim Malach Shloshim Yishalosh Shana. In Yerushalayim he was king for 33 years. Al Kol Yisrael VeYehuda, on all of Israel and Yehuda, on all of you. That means Chevron, that's true, the Anshe Yehuda, the people of Yehuda had anointed him, but he was only king over Yehuda. That was the years of Chevron. But the years of Yerushalayim, he was already king over all of Israel. Vayelech HaMelech V'Anashav Yerushalayim, the king and his men went to Yerushalayim. And here the Mepharshim say, Anashav, his men are now all of Israel. It's no longer just the small group that are around him. All of Israel are Anashav. They came to Yerushalayim El HaYevusi Yoshev Ha'aretz, to the Yevusi who live in the land. Vayomer LeDavid Lamar, and it had been said to David saying, Lo tavo heina, you shall not come here. Ki im hesircha ha'ivrim v'hapischim lemar. Lo yavo David heina. It had been said to David that you shall not come here unless you remove ha'ivrim, the blind, v'hapischim, and the lame. So saying, David shall not come here. All right. I think time has come. We have to start talking. What's going on here? We will, of course, to the end, we'll get to the Ivrim and the Pischim, the blind and the lame. What is happening here, of course, is at the very heart or the root of a controversy of that is on the world agenda today. David HaMelech is going to conquer Yerushalayim and he is going to establish his kingdom in Yerushalayim. And from whom does he conquer Yerushalayim? He conquers Yerushalayim from the Yevusi. The Yevusi were Yoshev Yerushalayim, and that had already been mentioned earlier in Sefer Shoftim. The Yevusi lived in Yerushalayim. Of course, one of the great lies of our time, there are already Arab writings in which they say that they are the descendants of the Yevusi. You understand? You understand? Palestinian Arabs that are most probably no more than 30 years in existence, because there never was a Palestinian people. There was really never any such thing as a Palestinian people. The name of Eretz Yisrael, Palestine, was given by the Romans. And the reason why the Romans did it is because they were also in the business, like everybody else was, they were in the business of rewriting history. So the best way, how do you rewrite history? So the first thing you have to do is erase. Right? First you erase. They called Yerushalayim, they gave Yerushalayim a different name, Eila Kapitolina. And for that matter, what they really did during the entire Roman period, the capital of Eretz Yisrael was, where was the capital of Eretz Yisrael? Caesarea, with a golf course, with all the good desachim, they knew where to make a capital. The point is, we will have to talk a bit of history, but first we're going to have to talk about the psukim over here, which are extremely important. The Jewish claim to Yerushalayim begins in this chapter. David conquers the city and he establishes the city as his capital. The fact is, as we say, even when the Romans were here, it was not Yerushalayim that was the capital. The capital was Caesarea. After the Muslim conquest of Eretz Yisrael in the 7th century, whether it was Saladin's, Omar, one of the Omar, the capital was never Yerushalayim, the capital was Ramla. Ramla was their capital. The only ones who established their capital here were the Jews under David in this chapter, the Crusaders for a period of Be'erach, approximately 87 years after the conquest by Richard the Lionhearted and others. It was for 87 years the capital of a Christian Eretz Yisrael, but otherwise it was never anybody's capital. During all of the last 1500 years or so that it was, that Yerushalayim, it was under either Turkish or other rule, it was nothing more than a backwater city, when the real capital was Ankara, on the Turkish Empire. When it was under Syrian Empire, it was Damascus and other places. When it was under Egypt, it was Cairo that was the capital. When the British held it, it was not the capital of anybody. The capital was London. This was nothing more than some kind of a colonial backwater town, nothing more than that. The fact is that during its history, Yerushalayim was ruled by 15 different empires whose capital city was elsewhere. The only ones who established it as a capital city were the Jews. And here it happens in this sefer, in this parasha. And what's important is the following. A number of things. Let's go back to
first pasuk. I think the first pasuk is extremely important. Vayavo kol shifte Yisrael el David Chevrona. I think maybe we can even ask the question, why is it that the tribes of Israel, why do the tribes of Israel, shouldn't the elders of Israel come first? What really is taking place over here is the following. We have to deal with a much larger question. One of the larger questions we're going to deal with. Question number one that we have to deal with is, why does the name Yerushalayim not appear once in all of Torah? Yerushalayim does not appear once. It appears in some way when Avraham Avinu comes back from his struggle with the four kings. So it says, Umalki Tzedek Melech Shalem, Malki Tzedek, the king of Shalem, came out toward Avraham. And the Targum Onkelos says over there, Umalki Tzedek Malka de Yerushalem, the king of Yerushalem. That's the only reference. We will see that there is another little bit of a reference to Yerushalayim, and that's going to be, of course, when Avraham Avinu brings Yitzchak to Har HaMoriah on the Akedah. It says, "Vayikra Shem Amakom Ahu." Avraham can't call the name of that place Hashem Yireh. God's divine presence should be seen here in this place, which ultimately became part of the name Yerushalayim. But we'll talk about that in a little while. Otherwise, Yerushalayim in Sefer Devarim is referred to at least 20 times, but the way in which it's referred to is Hamakom Asher Yivchar Hashem L'Shaken Shemo Sham, the place that God is going to choose to cause His name to dwell. Question is, why isn't the name of the city mentioned clearly and openly? And the fact is that certainly Gedolei Yisrael were very much aware of the name of the place. It was a secret, but then not completely a secret. The Rambam says the following: Hamizbeach, the altar, mekomo mechuvan biyoter, the place of the mizbeach on Har Abayit, that place is very carefully noted. We know precisely where it is. Ve'ein mishanin otomi mekomo la'olam, you're never permitted to change the place of the mizbeach. Shenema, because it says this is ze mizbeach la'olam Yisrael, this is the mizbeach for an olam of Yisrael. Bin Makom HaMizbeach, the place of the Mizbeach, Nekat Shom Yitzchak, that's where Yitzchak was brought as an Akedah. Shenemar, as it says, Lech L'cho El Eretz HaMoriah, God tells him, go to Eretz HaMoriah. And it says that Shlomo began to build the house of God on Har HaMoriah. Asher Nir'e L'David Aviyu, where God appeared to his father, David, Asher Heichin B'Makom David B'Goran Arnon HaYevuzi. That place, that Temple Mount, belonged to somebody who in Sefer Divrei Yayamim is referred to as Arnon the Yevusi. In the end of Sefer Shmuel, he is referred to as Aravno HaYevusi. And David HaMelech buys the Har HaBayit from Aravno HaYevusi. The Rambam goes on to say that there is a Masorah, we have a tradition, that the place where David and Shlomo built the Mizbeach in the silo of Aravno, that's the place where Avraham built the Mizbeach and brought Yitzchak as an Akedah. And that's the place where Noah built a Mizbeach, an altar, when he came out of the Teva. And that was the place where Cain and Hevel brought their sacrifices. And that's where Adam HaRishon himself also brought sacrifices. Kishenivra, when he was created, Umishom Nivra, and from there he was created. The earth from which man was made came from the Har, from the Har Abayit. The Arul Chachamim, Chacham said, Adam mimekom taparaton nivra, man was created from the place from which his forgiveness comes, the makom hamizbeach, which is the source of forgiveness, the Klal Yisrael. Which means, therefore, yes, I'm quoting from the Rambam. The Rambam, Hilchot Bet HaBechira, the laws of the Bet HaMikdash. And it's the very Perek Bet, second chapter, Halachas Aleph Bet. So that means there were those who certainly knew where the Har HaBayit is, and they knew about Yerushalayim. Yet Yerushalayim is pointedly not mentioned by name in Torah. I mean, how many times does the Torah have to continue saying, when you will come to the place that God will choose? The Rambam in the Mora HaNevuchim says the following. He asks this question. why is Yerushalayim not mentioned by name? He gives three reasons. We're going to add two other reasons to what the Rambam says. Rambam says that it's not mentioned because the Rebbein Shimon did not want that the enemy should know that this is where we plan on building our capital. Because would the enemy know that we want to build our capital there, they would put up a fight to the death. They would fight for it the way you fight for a capital. And therefore more Jewish lives would be lost. So the Rebbein Shimon, it's a secret. Secret. And fascinatingly enough, it was one of the rare times in Jewish history that there were no leaks. The second pshat that Rambam says is that if they would have known that this is going to be the capital city that David HaMelech is going to wage war for in this perek, would they have known it? And they would see that they are incapable of defending the capital, they would have adopted a scorched earth policy and destroyed the city totally. Oru, oru, ad hayisod ba. They would have destroyed the city utterly. The third pshat that the Rambam says is the reason why Yerushalayim is not mentioned by name in Torah so that there should not be a struggle amongst the tribes. Who is going to have Yerushalayim in their portion? And therefore, what is fascinating is the very first time in Torah, in Parashat Re'eh, where the Torah talks about the place, when you will come to the place that God will choose. So the first time, your sacrifices, says at the beginning of Parashat Re'eh, ki in the only place where you can bring your sacrifices, el hamakom asher yivchar Hashem elokeichem, to the place that God will choose, mikol shivteichem, from amongst all of your tribes. That his name should be there. Leshichno Tinishu, where he dwells, you should come and seek him, Uvata Sham, and come there. So the very first time that it's mentioned, it says, the place that God will choose from amongst all of your tribes, which obviously the Rambam brings as proof that one of the reasons why the name of Yerushalayim is not mentioned, so that there should not be a struggle between the tribes, who will have Yerushalayim in his portion. I believe that's precisely what the first pasuk in this parak is saying. The first step that has to be taken before David HaMelech can begin the campaign against Yerushalayim is that he has to have all of the Shvatim together with him. What were they waiting for? It's 250, 300 years since they had come in the days of Yahushua. What were they waiting for all of those years? Why didn't somebody conquer Yerushalayim and build a Beit HaMikdash? There's a mitzvah in the Torah to build a Beit HaMikdash. They're waiting with the fulfillment of this great mitzvah some 300 years already. Because what was necessary was that there should be a union of Kol Shivteichem, all of the tribes. At the moment when all of the tribes are united and there are no longer serious tribal divisions, only at that moment can the choice be made. And that's precisely the stage that is being set in this passage by Avo. Kol Shiftei Yisrael El David. All the tribes of Israel come to David. The moment that that's done, David can now begin the campaign for Yerushalayim. Because what has been fulfilled is Hamakom Asher Yivchar Hashem Mikol Shifteichem. All of the tribes are together. Now he can begin the process of the conquest of Yerushalayim. I believe there are another two reasons why the name is not mentioned. There are two other places in Torah where a name is not mentioned. One is when HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Avram, Lech lecha me'aretzecha u'mimoladetcha u'mibeit avicha el ha'aretz asher ar'echa, to the land that I will show you. Does he tell him which land? Why doesn't he tell him which land? There's another place. The first Lech Lecha, God doesn't tell him where to go, and the last Lech Lecha, the second Lech Lecha is Tachna, take your one and only son Yitzhak and bring him to the place that I will show you. And I'm not going to show you to the place that I will show you and bring him there as an Ola. These two places, God does not mention the name. Rashi says, why doesn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu tell him the name by Lech Lecha, the first Lech Lecha, why doesn't he tell him the name? Kidei Lechavavah Be'enov, in order to make it more beloved. In other words, the anticipation of when will I find out? There is a rising anticipation, and it may very well have been necessary for Klal Yisrael Pasha to have gone through a long period of time until they felt the need for a capital city, and then finally the Rebbe tells them. I'm sure that Jews most probably were praying already. They didn't say Vil Yerushalayim Ircha, but what they said, Hamakom Asher Yivcha, the place, we're waiting for Ben Yishmael. That's also true. I'll tell you, even if he would have told him the name of the place, it still takes a lot of faith to pick yourself up from where you are and go to. I mean, it was still some kind of hashlug in a place. I mean, what was it? The seat of civilization was where Avraham was coming from. He was going off to the hinterlands. There is something else that is important by the Rebbe Yishmael not telling us the place, not telling Avraham that he's going to Eretz Canaan, not telling Avraham that he's going to Haran Moriah, not telling Klal Yisrael that they're on the way to Yerushalayim, and Yerushalayim is the place. When do we find out the place? We find out about Eretz Yisrael only after Avraham gets there. We find out about Haran Moriah only after Avraham and Yitzchak get there. We find out about Yerushalayim only after David conquers it. In order to establish an extremely important principle, and I think this principle was in a different connection once enunciated by Rav Soloveitchik. Sanctity in this world, Kedusha, is the act of man, not an act of God. We are the ones who make something holy. A man says that I'm going to bring this animal as a sacrifice, that makes it holy. Kedusha, in its real sense, sanctity is something that is created by men, not created by God. There may be a Ritzon Hashem, a will of God. Example. Classic example. There are two mountains that tower majestically over all of Jewish history. Har HaMoriah and Har Sinai. Does Har Sinai have any meaning for us? Even in that ill-fated peace with Egypt, there wasn't a single group that demonstrated for Har Sinai. We don't even know where it is. We're not even certain where it is. I'll tell you the more. We don't even care where it is. Yamit? Yes. Har Sinai, no. Why? What about Har HaMoriah? Do you think there are stronger and greater feelings for Har HaMoriah? Of course. Of course. Har HaMoriah, yes. But wait a minute. Har Sinai is the place where God himself descended upon the mountain, the most glorious day in all of world history. An entire world shook. There was thunder and there was lightning and there was the sound of the shofar. And God himself descends from the heavens upon Mount Sinai and he speaks to the Jewish people. For that matter, he speaks to a whole world. Yet Har Sinai means nothing to us. Why doesn't Har Sinai mean anything to us? Because sanctity in this world is not established by the Rebbe Yishmael. It is the task of man to give Kedusha. Therefore, what does the Torah say by Har Sinai? As long as the Divine Presence is on the mountain, nobody is permitted to go to the mountain. What happens when the Divine Presence rises? Then, Gam Hatzon v'Habokor Yiru El Mul HaHorahu, the sheep and the cattle can continue to graze by the mountain. As long as the Rebbe Yishmael's presence is there, okay, so the Rebbe Yishmael's presence is there. But when it rises and it lifts, there goes the sanctity. But Har HaMoriah, where Avraham Avinu was ready to sacrifice his son Yitzchak, it is the act of Avraham and Yitzchak that gives that place sanctity. Eretz Yisrael truly becomes holy. It's the chosen land. On some level, there is a sanctity that it has from the moment of creation, but its real active sanctity comes when Avraham enters into the land and he goes along the length and breadth of the land. Har HaMoriah becomes holy when Yitzchak is brought as an Akedah. What the Torah therefore is telling us is, if the name would have been mentioned in advance in Torah, we could have made the mistake of thinking that the sanctity of Yerushalayim is something that has been mandated by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He makes sanctity. No. Do you know when it's going to become holy? In this parak. When David HaMelech is going to conquer it, that's when Yerushalayim is going to become holy. Holiness for all time is established by the act of man, not by the act of God. God's holiness is in heaven. We are the instruments of Kedusha in this world. So that therefore the name of Yerushalayim is not mentioned clearly as the capital city until this until this chapter, because it's now that David HaMelech is going to conquer it.
So therefore I believe it's the words in the chapter and the order of the chapter are very careful, very careful. This corresponds to the very first time in Torah when that illusory relationship with Yerushalayim is mentioned and never by name. The place that's going to be chosen in Kol Shiftechem. Once all of the Shvatim rally around David and the tribes become one united unit, from that moment on and further, the choice can be made. And who is the choice going to be made by? It's going to be made by David HaMelech.
The name Yerushalayim
has a great deal of significance. I think we talked about this 2 years ago. Does anybody know where the name comes from? Anyone know where the name comes from? Alright. Good, I'm happy you don't know, so I can tell you something. The famous Medrash. Obviously it wasn't the famous Medrash here, but it's going to be a famous Medrash from now on. The Medrash says the following, that Avraham called the name of the place Yireh. That's what he said at the Akedah, Yireh. It was Malki Tzedek, who is Shem ben Noach. Shem, the son of Noach, he's the one who gave the place the name Shalem. Malki Tzedek, Melech Shalem. Says the Medrash that the Ben Shalom has a dilemma. Imani kore osa, if I'm going to call the name of this city Yireh, as Avraham called it, Shem, Odom Tzadik Mitra'en, Shem, who is a righteous person, is going to be upset. The Imani kore osa, and if I call the name of the city, which one did I say first? If I call it Shalem, then Avraham is Adam Tzadik, he will be Mitraim. If I call the name of the place Shalem as Malki Tzedek did, then Avram, who is a righteous person, is going to be upset. Lefichach, therefore, Ani Koreotar, I therefore call the name of the city Yerushalayim. Now watch, a number of things are there. That means the underlying significance of the Medrash is this is the one city in the world that is given its name by the Rebbeinu. None other. No other, the only city that gets its name from the Rebbeinu. There's something else that's very fascinating. This is discussed by a Tosfos in the Masechta Tainis. How do we Yerushalayim appears in Tanakh 655 times? I think I got the number straight. By the way, and I think this is extremely important, Yerushalayim never appears once in the Quran. But 656 times in Tanakh. Of all of those times, it is written without a second yud all the time, except five times. Yerushalayim, take a look in your Navi. Oh, I don't know how your Navi, how they printed it over here. How do they print it?
Without
the second yud. It's written Yerusha. Lam, without the yud between the lamed and the mem. Without the yud between the lamed and the mem. Tesis asks, why is there no yud in Yerushalayim? Why is there no yud between the lamed and the mem? So Tesis answers, because Shem, what did Shem call the city? Shalem, Shin, Lamed, Mem. So that's the way it's written. That means, it seems, Tesis is saying, is that God didn't want to tamper with the name, the way it was given by Malki Tzedek. He called it Shalem. So Shin Lamed Mem. The problem, of course, is that God does tamper a little bit with the name given to it by Avram. Avram calls it Yireh, and the Yireh becomes Yeru. So first of all, maybe because with a guy, you don't start out with Shem. Avram, the Rebbeinu Shem, already will get make a deal with Avram. But the Yerushalmi, one of the Mefarshim on the Yerushalmi says, what's the difference between Yireh and Yeru? The Aleph and the Hey of Yireh, which equals six, is turned into the Vav of Yeru. But there are another two problems that we have to deal with the name of Yerushalayim. Problem number one is, why is the name that Avram gave it, why is that first? Who gave the name first to the city? Malki Tzedek is Melech Shalem in Parshat Lech Lecha, and Avram comes to the Akedah and calls it Yireh in Parshat Vayera. Why?
The truth is that we could have gotten used to it over the years to call it Shlom Yeru. Could have been Shlom Yeru. You can get used to anything. But now there's reason why. I believe the reason why is, and this is always the great complaint that I have to Malki Tzedek. My complaint to Malki Tzedek is, who is Malki Tzedek? Malki Tzedek is Melech what? King of Shalom, right? Peace. He is the Prince of Peace. What has been going on in Parashat Lech Lecha? What's been going on for 26 years? There's a world war of four kings against five kings. Who are all these nine kings that are fighting with one another? They are all the children of Malki Tzedek, Shem ben Noach. What does he do during all of these years? He most probably talks peace, he prays for peace, but he does absolutely nothing about it. In one great night, Avraham Avinu goes out and he destroys the aggressors and he brings peace to the world. Sometimes peace is brought to the world by one crushing blow. But what Avraham therefore is saying is peace will real peace will only come. And this has not, I said this long before the peace process, that's not, it's not politics, it's stir. The peace will come only when Hashem Yireh, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be seen in Yerushalayim. You cannot talk about peace separate and distinct from the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bring peace. It is Malki Tzedek who thinks that if he's going to talk peace, then he's going to... that's not enough. Yireh, when Hashem Yireh, when God will see fit that His divine presence should be seen and feared from that mountain, then there's going to be Shalom in the world. So therefore, yes, the Rosh says, I'm sorry, Shem. It's true that you gave the name Shalom to the city before Avraham gave the name Yireh. But you should know that the Yireh is the necessary introduction to Shalom. The process is going to be Yireh and then Shalom. But there's another problem with the name Yerushalayim. We read it one way and we write it another way. We read it Yerushalayim, but how do we write it? Yerushalem. We don't put the Yud in. There is no Yud there. And we said the Tosis tells us, why is there no Yud there? Because Malki Tzedek called it Shalem, but he didn't call it Shalayim. So why do we call it Yerushalayim? Why shouldn't the city be at Yerushalayim as it is in the Aramaic or as it is in English? Jerusalem. It's not Jerusalayim. It's Jerusalem. What does an ayim ending in Hebrew always denote? Plural. Yad, yadayim. Ayin, ain ayin. I don't have to go any further. Raglayin, a lot of things. Machaneh, machanayin. End of this week's Seder, Vayikra Shem HaMakamahu Machanayin. You saw two camps of angels. The Yerushalayim always represents, ayin ending always means a duality. Two, not one. Which is extremely significant when we're talking about Yerushalayim, because there is a great deal of duality in Yerushalayim. And I don't at all mean, I'm going to explain what I mean. Not that it's two cities. There are those who want to turn it precisely into that. And incidentally, we're going to see in this perek that when David comes to Yerushalayim, Yerushalayim is a divided city. Save that for a moment. I'm going to show it to you in Tanakh. It's a divided city that he unites. But wait, let's not jump ahead. First of all, Yerushalayim, the first duality, what do you know about Yerushalayim that's two? The name is made up of two names. Yireh and Shalayim. Chazal tell us there's Yerushalayim shel mata, and there is Yerushalayim shel mala. There is a Yerushalayim up there that is mechuvan, that is directly above the Yerushalayim shel mata. In Tanakh, Yerushalayim also has two meanings. It means the city proper. It also is another name for the whole country. For example, when you say that
Washington announced. What does that mean, Washington announced? What did that mean? I don't know, some words that came out of the Washington. Washington is a name that represents a city called Washington, and it represents a whole country. It represents a government. It represents a people. The great eternal struggle that the Gemara talks about between Yerushalayim and the Caesarea. Yerushalayim. That was last week's Sedra. When Rivka is told that there are two nations in your womb, Ushnei Le'umim Mime'ayich Yiporeidu, Ula'om Mil'om Ye'ematz, and each nation is going to struggle with the other. I believe Rashi brings over there that there will be the struggle between Caesarea, which represents the Christian world, and Yerushalayim. And when one rises, the other falls. And when one falls, the other rises. So we've said Yerushalayim, therefore, is the name of a particular geographic location, and it also represents Eretz Yisrael as a whole. Yerushalayim in Tanakh, we will also find, is that there was inner Yerushalayim, and there was greater Yerushalayim from a geographic point of view. Now, the geographic Yerushalayim represented a much larger area. It most probably included Har Nof and Ramot, maybe Pisgat Ze'ev, I don't know, Ma'aleh Adumim. And then there was the inner core city, which was Yerushalayim. And in Tanakh, the words are used, the names are used interchangeably. It means, of course, in truth, that Yerushalayim has significance not only for Klal Yisrael, but it has significance indeed for the whole world. Va'olu Moshiim b'har Tzion lishpot et ha'reisav ki mi Tzion teitzei Torah u'devar Hashem mi Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim is going to be the famous nevuah of Yeshayahu. V'noharu elav kol ha'goyim, all of the nations of the world are going to flow toward Yerushalayim. And they're going to say, L'chu v'na'ale, let us all go al har Beit Hashem, etc. Yerushalayim is going to be the source of inspiration for a whole world. The Gilui Shechina, the divine presence, is going to be revealed in Yerushalayim to a whole world. So it is true that the city has significance indeed for a whole world. I mean, they're not crazy when they all have their sights set on Yerushalayim. And in a way that they've never had it, what makes the present struggle of Yerushalayim more bitter than any other previous struggle is that the ones who indeed hold it are ready to relinquish it. That never happened in all of Jewish history. That never happened. Not only never happened in all of Jewish history, it didn't happen in history altogether. There was never any one of the 87 conquerors. Yerushalayim, I think, was conquered 87 times. And if I'm wrong, it's most probably because it's more than 87. The city changed hands that many times. But nobody who held it ever willingly relinquished it to anybody else. Except now. Jews are ready to relinquish parts of Yerushalayim. The reason why, let's go back to the reason why the name of that given by Abram comes first, in order to demonstrate something else. Yes, the city has meaning and significance for a whole world, but that meaning and significance is only going to come through Abraham and the children of Abraham and the divine presence that's going to rest here because of the children of Abraham through the Yireh of Yerushalayim. It will be Yerushalayim for a whole world. There's a beautiful Evan Ezra, and I once added something to this Evan Ezra, and that's why it has it's a good Evan Ezra altogether. He's talking really about the whole idea of something that we come across all the time. There is Kri and Ktiv. We have different words in Tanakh that are written one way and read another way, read one way, written another way. So he says He says the following. If you're going to ask, this is the Ibn Ezra, says, if you're going to ask, how can we read a letter that's not written? Yesh lahashiv. So he says, the answer is, why do we call Yerushalayim Yerushalayim? There's no Yud in Yerushalayim. You're not going to find the name Yerushalayim with a Yud except five times. The other 600 and
52 times or 51 times, it's without a yud. Ubabur hachidik, because of the fact that there's a chidik that's written between the lamed and the mem, we call it with a yud. So he says, how is the on what basis do we do this? Because kach kibalnu me'avotenu, this is what we have received as a mesorah. This is the mesorah from our fathers. Says the Ibn Ezra, we would never have known this from logic. The only way in which we know, and for 3,000 years we've known in Tanakh precisely where to write the five places that you write it with a yud and where you don't write it with a yud. He says all of this, the idea first of all that Yerushalayim is not written with a yud, and precisely where it is and where it isn't, all of this is the result of a very exacting and precise tradition from generation to generation that hasn't changed. So what he's really saying is the way Yerushalayim is written is proof that the Mesorah, the way the Tanakh has been transmitted to us, has been transmitted so faithfully from generation to generation, you can bet your life on a Tanakh. You can know that this is the Dvar Hashem. It has come down so carefully transmitted. So I said, once on this Ibn Ezra, I said, do you know what the Ibn Ezra is saying? Ki mitzion teitzei Torah. Udvar Hashem, the fact that Torah is Dvar Hashem, you know where you learn it from? From the name Yerushalayim. The name Yerushalayim bears eternal proof that the Mesorah, the tradition of Tanakh, was so carefully guarded and so precisely transmitted from generation to generation. Ki mitzion teitzei Torah. Udvar Hashem, Yerushalayim. Alright, we're not finished yet with Yerushalayim. We've just begun to talk about Yerushalayim. So here what happens is that David HaMelech, he is anointed Tzimtzit Mol. Right? He's Tzimtzit Mol, Tzimtzit Mol, and Tzimtzit Mol, and that's it. Once, third time, he is Melech. He is Melech over Kol Shifte Yisrael. He has been accepted as king by Kol Ziknei Yisrael. And it's from that moment on and further, immediately, the first step that he takes, is he goes to conquer Yerushalayim. He's been 7 years in Hebron, now he goes to Yerushalayim. It's obvious that all of this flows from the first pasuk, the moment it says that Kol Shiftei Yisrael have joined David. We're talking about a united people, and from a united people are now the ones who can establish Yerushalayim as the capital. So let's take a look at this difficult pasuk and see how many pshatim we're going to be able to come up with. I'm going to take you on a journey through the Mefarshim. Vayelech HaMelech, pasuk 6, that's the pasuk. Vayelech HaMelech v'anashav Yerushalayim, the king and his men went to Yerushalayim, El HaYevusi Yoshev Haaretz Ki V'Yevusi, who lived in the land. Vayomer LeDavid Leirayin, it was said to David, so saying, you cannot come into this city unless you remove the Ivrim, the blind, and the lame. So first of all, from what we know in Tanakh, and by the way, I should have mentioned this, but everything is going to come out. Yerushalayim is a divided city. Yerushalayim is a divided city because Yerushalayim, part of Yerushalayim, is in from the tribe of Yehuda, goes to Yehuda, and part of Yerushalayim is Binyamin. Pasuk in Zos HaBracha, Binyamin, what's the bracha of Binyamin? Ule Binyamin Amar, the beloved one of Hashem, Yishkon Lavetach, Chofef Olav Kol Hayom, Binyamin hovers over him all day, says Rashi. Rashi brings the Gemara that says that Binyamin hovers over Yerushalayim and wants to swallow up Yerushalayim, wants that Yerushalayim should be in his possession. But what the end was, that the Gemara says, where is Eretz Binyamin? Where is Eretz Binyamin? Today. The Eretz Binyamin of all time. You don't have to go as far as Ramallah. French Hill. French Hill is already Eretz Binyamin. In other words, the moment you move a drop east of Yerushalayim, east and north, that's Eretz Binyamin. Matei Binyamin. Even today. Because that was all part of the Nachal, of the inheritance that was given to Binyamin. According to the Gemara says, Ritzua Yotzeit mi Binyamin, there was a strip, the Binyamin strip, which was, there was, from the land of Binyamin, there was a little piece that came onto Har HaBayit, and the Makom of Kodesh Kedoshim, the Holy of Holies, was part of that strip that was in the land of Binyamin. Which means, therefore, that Yerushalayim is partially Binyamin and partially Yehuda. So it is a duality, the double Yerusha, the double Yerushalayim. What had happened up until now? What happened up until now is in Shoftim there was a battle for Yerushalayim. And they captured Yerushalayim, but they were unable to remove the Yevusi who lived in Yerushalayim. Unable to remove the Yevusi. Which means the following. That while Yerushalayim for 250 to 300 years had part of the city had been held by Yehuda, and part of the city had been held by the Yevusi for the whole period of the Shoftim. If you will recall, at the end of Sefer Shoftim, there is the story of Pelegesh Begiva. In the story of Pelegesh Begiva, it says that as the man is going with his wife from Beit Lechem to the land of Binyamin, and it's getting dark, and they pass a place where his nar says, let's go into that place and stay there overnight. So he says, no, I will not go in over there because there the Yevus are living there. They had passed Yerushalayim. When you go to Beit Lechem, up to Giv'ah or Ramah Pelegesh, Giv'ah is someplace around Shu'afat. You pass Yerushalayim. They wouldn't go into Yerushalayim because that part of Yerushalayim, certainly the Har HaBayit, you see, Yerushalayim is a number of mountains. I mean, the place where you can feel it most or best is as you come to the Kotel, right? You come down the steps, right? The Rova is on a mountain. There is a valley in between, and then you have Har HaBayit. Yes?
When I took a tunnel tour under the Kotel, they show you the slides of the topography of the mountains and the valleys, which makes the letter Shin.
Oh, I didn't know that. I
see. At that point where the
mountains make a Shin?
The Shin, yes.
Yerushalayim, Harim, Savivla. So what really happened over here was, Yehuda had already in Shoftim at the beginning, it says that they captured Yerushalayim. You'll remember that they waged war with a king called Adoni Bezek, who was king of Yerushalayim, and they cut off, it says over there that they cut off his thumbs and his fingers because he had the thumbs and fingers of 70 kings under his table. You know, they do it today in Saudi Arabia, and they did it in those days too. You chop off the fingers and thumbs. So they had captured Yerushalayim, but they didn't capture the whole city of Yerushalayim. They captured one of the mountains. They did not capture, when you go out of Shar HaAshba to the strait is, that's Ir David, right? Silwan, Ir David, that's going to be captured now by David, and his main thrust is going to be to capture the Har HaBayit. And over there, it says, as he comes there, so they said, no, you cannot come here. Just take a look in Pasuk 7. Vayilko David captured et Mitzudatzion he ir David. And then Pasuk Hey, he says, in other words, even after he's captured ir David, which is outside of Shar HaAshba, he still doesn't have Arabayit. And Bayomet David, Bayomahu, David said on that day, call Make Yevusi, whoever can smite the Yevusi, because they're still there. The Yevusi are still there, and they're the ones who tell David, you cannot come here until you remove the blind and the lame. Vayomer David, Pasuk 8, Vayomer David, Vayomahu, Kol Makeh Yevusi, whoever smites the Yevusi, V'yigar Bat Sinor, and will be able to, V'yigar Bat Sinor, its literal meaning is, it seems there was a water aqueduct that was, huh?
A gutter,
something that brings water. But for us, we were raised in America, a gutter was something, you know, the street, you know, where maybe it could have been water that was running off. And the one who will remove the blind and the lame, snuei nefesh David, the ones that are hated, that David's soul hates. Doesn't say very often by David that he hates. He hates, but this he hates. And therefore they say, Iver upisea lo yavo al habayit. An Iver, a blind and a lame, shall not come into the house. Alright, let's read another part. Vayeshev David b'mitzudah. David settled in the mitzudah. Part of Yerushalayim was the fortress. Vayikrolon, he called it here David. Vayiven David Saviv min hamilo v'abaita. Alright, he built around it. What are the Ivrim and Pisim?
I've made a list of how many pshatim. I think I have 6 or 7 pshatim in the Ivrim or the Pesachim, which obviously, of course, means that we're not going to get through all of them today. But let's let me see who we will we'll begin with. Then let's take the simple pshatim. The Ibn Ezra says, the message that was sent to David is that this part of Yerushalayim is so fortified, even the blind and the lame will be able to defend this city. David, you will never conquer Yerushalayim. This is Festung Yevusi. Ivrim and Pesachim are the ones that can defend this city. There is another pshat that says we're all going to fight for this city to the last man. Even our blind and our lame are going to fight to the last breath for this city. Does that not recall what I told you at the beginning of the shiur from the Rambam? That if the enemy will know that this is going to be the capital city, they're going to fight a battle to the death. They must sense something. If this is the first place that David comes to after he has been anointed by all of Israel, there's something very special. We're going to fight for the last lame and blind, fine person. There's a third pshat that says that on the walls surrounding that part of Yerushalayim, they put lame and blind people up there to tell David, that if you have the chutzpah, if you have the cruelty, you know, it's like putting women and children up in the front lines. To get to us, you're going to have to cut down the blind and the lame. Let's see, David, if you're able to do it. Another pshat that says that they made fun of the forces of David and they referred to David's men, you're a bunch of blind and lame soldiers. You'll never, ever be able to conquer this city. Chazal say, boy, we may even get through all of the pshatim before our time is up. Chazal say, this is brought by all of Mefarshim, and we're going to read it more carefully. They put up idols that were blind and lame, you know, hear no evil, see no evil. They put idols, a blind idol and a lame idol. And of course, why are idols, why do we call idols, we call them Pesachim and Ivrim, because Einayim Lahem Velo Yidu Raglehem Velo Yahalechem, they have eyes and they can't see. But they were sending a completely different message. The message that those who held Yerushalayim were sending is, the Ivrim represent who of the others? Yitzchak. Yitzchak is the one who becomes blind or his vision is dim toward the end of his life. Which one of the others is a lame one? Yaakov, in next week's Seder, he's going to be hit by the Malach and he's going to begin to limp. So what they're telling him is the following. And this we're going to have to read in the... I'll begin to read it in Rashi. Rashi says it most simply. Rashi says that they, as they came to the Yevusi, Mitzudat Tzion, the fortress of Tzion is called Yevus. And do you know who the Yevusim were? We know who the Yevusim were. They were not the descendants of the Palestinian Arabs. They weren't Arafat's Zaydis. The Yevus were from the children of Abimelech. V'hoyu lehem shnei tzlamim, they put two idols up there. One was an Iver and one was a Piseach. And they were made to represent Yitzchak and Yaakov. And you know what was written inside them? They had a cloth in which was written the Shvua Shenishba Avram La Avimelech, the oath that Avram swore to Avimelech. Avram and Avimelech had entered into a peace treaty. There was a chose that we are not going to wage war with you, your children, or your grandchildren. And therefore they're saying you have no right to come here, because if you come to this city, this is going to be a... A hafara, how do you say that in English? a breach of the declaration of principles that was made between Avraham and Avimelech. Yes, and of all the strange things, sometimes Rishoyim have length of days. There was still a great grandson of Avimelech alive, as he was most probably here, Azokei Muflim, but there was still a great grandson. So he says, therefore, back in Sefer Shoftim, when Yehuda conquered Yerushalayim, so they conquered all of the city except the part that belonged to the Yavusi, where the Yavusi were living. Why? Because they were not permitted to do it by virtue of the covenant that had been entered into with Avram. And that's why it says at the beginning of Shoftim, over there the pasuk says, "V'et ha-Yavusi Yoshev Yerushalayim lo yachlu lahodesh," the Yavusi who lives in Yerushalayim, they were not able to destroy. They had conquered everything else, and they couldn't. Do the Yavusi couldn't doesn't mean they physically couldn't. It meant that ethically and morally they couldn't because they were bound by the covenant that had been entered into between Avram and Avimelech. And the Gemara brings this. Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Yecholin Hayu. They were able. Ela Shalom Hayu Yishoyin, they weren't permitted. And Avraham, David now, of course, why is David going to do it now? There are reasons why David has a right to do it now. Because they've already broken the covenant 1,000 times over. Doesn't it always happen like that? The other side, we're the good guys. We're going to keep our part of the bargain. Unfortunately, even if it kills us, we will keep our part of the bargain. But they had already broken the bargain long, long before. Avimelech was Melech Plishtim. How many wars have been going on with the Plishtim now since the time of Shimshon? There's been struggle with the Plishtim. They had broken the covenant and the treaty time and time again. So what they've set up over the walls of their part of Yerushalayim, which has been, as I say, a divided city now since the beginning of the times of from the times of Yeshua, or from right after Yeshua until now, it's been a divided city, is their claim to the city that you don't have a right to come in here because of the treaty that was entered into between Avraham and Avimelech. Therefore, this is Snuei the Ivrim and the Pischim, the blind and the lame, that are there on the fortress, which represent the covenant, and therefore you don't have a right to come here. Snuei Nefesh David. How he's going to conquer and what's going to happen? We have to leave something for next week too. I'll tell you, a little bit I used you people. I have to speak. It things worked out that way that we're learning chapter 5 over here. Chapter 5 Mamish is the yesod of our claim to Yerushalayim as our capital city. I also have to speak in City Hall tomorrow afternoon on our claim to Yerushalayim. So, you know, this works out well. I'm on a program with Hebrew University students from Kutzlaritz with Ehud Olmert, so we'll have something to say about Yerushalayim. Okay.